Okay, Katie, help me catch my breath, okay? You're the health chick, so to speak.
I am the health chick, yes. Get some oxygen.
Oh, God. How could it, you know, I got to tell you, I've gone from being a skeptic to where I'm going to have to really look at this. Anyway, Katie,
yes.
We are so far behind time. It's scary. We just blew through that top of the hour break. And I have to tell you, in the 8.5 years that I've been on the air, I've never done that. We've never done that before, but I just felt we were getting to the point where people were getting questions answered about specific survival issues that I didn't want to just blow that off. And I know, folks, I didn't get to all of it. That's why I'm going to have Bob back on. Anyway, we are officially in our health segment. We're late. We're trying to run to catch the bus. We're catching up. Katie, go.
Well, I'll give you the condensed version, or I'll just kind of take things down a couple notches, and we'll shift gears a little bit. But that was riveting, and yes, that was just, in terms of that show, that was scratching the surface as far as I'm concerned. That show ties so much of what we've been hearing together and what we know in Scripture and now, and the bunkers. This is all starting to fall into place, isn't it, Dave?
It is.
So, yes. Yes, but I'm going to segue. It's a terrible segue. I'm going to go into taking care of our health. So if we're going to get healthy, we might as well get healthy until, what, December through March, or we'll have another year. So whatever, we're going to change gears here. And my health segment is, yes, we're going to give Dave some oxygen. I'm going to take some oxygen. We're going to take a deep breath, and we're going to go into omega-3s. Doesn't that sound exciting, Dave?
Yeah, if omega-3 will help me attach, let me put it this way, it will give me extra energy to go get that backhoe so I can dig my own tunnel. I mean, then you'll have me. Anyway, let's talk about omega-3s.
How's this? Because they're really good for your heart. So, yeah, that will probably help you. But I want to do a little show on the importance of omega-3s. I can't tell you how great this segment is in terms of the connections I'm making with people. I'm making so many great connections. People are calling me and contacting me, and they really do. I'm surprised, and wonderfully surprised, at how many people really want to take back their health. So I thought this would be a great segment because I've covered diet, how important it is, and this is really important. But this is an article. I'm going to start with an article called Omega-3 May Block Psychosis Years Later Study Finds from medicalexpress.com. All these links you can find on my blog, which is theessentialoilwell.blogspot.com. And if I could just say, ladies and gentlemen, if you're getting information from this show and you're just starting to tune into the health segment, you can go to that blog and go back month after month after month. There's so many great shows on all the questions that you've been sending me and asking me. So omega-3 is a fatty acid. If people don't know this, it's a fatty acid found in oily fish, and it may prevent the onset of schizophrenia and other psychotic disorders long after being consumed. So according to a study released Tuesday, up to 7 years after taking omega-3 supplements for 12 weeks, young people at ultra-high risk were less likely to have suffered debilitating conditions than a control group given a placebo, reported in this study. And several months ago, I did a story on food and behavior where that woman who was a probation officer started feeding omega-3s and whole foods to young probationers, and their behavior changed dramatically. So this is great stuff. It all ties in. So scientists have long known that patients with schizophrenia exhibit reduced levels of polyunsaturated fatty acids, specifically omega-3 and omega-6 in cell membranes. Nearly a decade ago, researchers led by Paul Amminger at the University of Melbourne showed in clinical trials that ingesting the fatty acid delayed a first episode of psychotic disorder in high-risk subjects up to a year. In a follow-up study published in Nature Communications, Amminger and colleague colleagues report that nearly 7 years later, only 10% of the omega-3 group developed psychosis compared to 40% in the placebo group. So I'm going to go into a little bit more here about what are omega-3s. People are saying, well, what? How do I get it? What is it? I have a list of different sources of omega-3 fatty acids. I'll have on my website a little bit, or my blog a little bit later tonight, the foods highest in total omega-3 fatty acids. But I would say if you go to this nutritiondata.self.com, be discerning reading this list, using good judgment from what you've learned on this show about healthy foods. Some of the items on here may be omega-3s, but they're extremely unhealthy foods. So it's pages, 20 pages of different sources of omega-3s. So if that says soybean oil, be careful, because there's a lot of problems with soybean oil. It's genetically modified. But go through that and you'll get a pretty good idea. Flaxseed oil. Fish oils, all kinds of fish oils, salmon oil, seeds, chia seeds, dried chia seeds, basil, spices, caviar, all kinds of cod liver oil. So there's a whole list of good foods. But omega-3 fatty acids are considered essential fatty acids, brain food. They're necessary for human health, but the body can't make them. You have to get them through food. So omega-3 fatty acids are found in fish, salmon, tuna, halibut, other seafoods, algae, krill, some plants, and nut oils, also known as polyunsaturated fatty acids. Omega-3 fatty acids play a crucial role in brain function, as well as normal growth and development. They've also become popular because they may reduce the risk of heart disease. So researchers have shown that omega-3 fatty acids reduce inflammation and may help lower the risk of chronic disease such as heart disease, cancer, and arthritis. They're also highly concentrated in the brain and appear to be important for cognitive, that's brain memory and performance, so that might help with Alzheimer's patients and dementia, different things like that. And what they suggested, oh, here's the big thing. It's important to have the proper ratio of omega-3s and omega-6, another essential fatty acid in the diet. Omega-3 fatty acid helps reduce inflammation, and most omega-6 fatty acids tend to promote inflammation. So why would we want to ingest omega-6s? Well, because the body has a natural inflammatory process. Say you have an injury. Your body needs to cause an inflammation in that area. That's part of the healing process. But when you take in too many omega-6s, then your body becomes entirely inflamed, and you become sick. So that's why the omega-6s actually promote inflammation, but it's necessary inflammation. So our diet in today's culture is a 25-to-1 ratio or higher, meaning we take in the wrong kind of omegas. We take in way too many omega-6s, which come from your oils, your safflower oil, your cooking oils, sunflower oil, things like that, soybean oil, different things like that. So we want to get to a 1-to-1 ratio, meaning bring your omega-3s and your omega-6s in balance, your fish oils, things like that. And that'll bring inflammation down in the body, which will bring down things like arthritis, brain health, heart disease. The Mediterranean diet has a healthier balance between omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids, many studies have shown. Whole grains, fresh fruits, vegetables, fish, olive oil, garlic, a moderate wine consumption. So a lot of people I know have gone on the Mediterranean diet and have had wonderful success. But by going on taking more omega-3s, you're dealing with high cholesterol. People who follow a Mediterranean-style diet tend to have higher HDL, or good cholesterol. Cholesterol. Here's how I remember all the cholesterol stuff. The HDL, the H stands for healthy. The LDL, the L stands for lousy. So you want HDL. That's the good cholesterol. High blood pressure. Several clinical studies.
Well, before you go on from there, let me just clarify. What kind of foods are we talking about? I know we can get this in supplements, but what about diet?
Diet for the omega-3s, like I said, all kinds of your cold water fish, salmon, halibut, cod, you know, your fish oil supplements, things like that. You can also get it. Coconut oils are great omega-3s.
That's what I was going to ask you. Exactly, the coconut oil. Why does coconut oil keep popping up everywhere? Is a very healthy thing to consume.
I covered coconut oil last week. Remember that?
I went over. Yeah, I do, and I'm reading about it everywhere, Katie.
Well, it's an undiscovered secret. I've known it for a while, but it's really coming out of the woodwork because people are getting more healthy and they're starting to unearth these things. People in the tropics have always known about things like coconut oil. People in the Mediterranean regions have always known about olive oil. It's just starting to come to these parts because we are such a sick nation now and people are just craving for healthy information. It's been out there, but it always, you know, unless it's been on Oprah, it doesn't hit the markets. So Dr. Oz, all these doctors, they've been talking about these things for years, but I think it's the movement in people wanting to know a healthier way to live. So it's just naturally coming to the surface. Coconut oil is great. If you listen to last week's health segment, you'll hear all the amazing things that coconut oil can do. So stay away from the safflower oils and the different oils like that. But coconut oil, olive oil, those are great oils. So some other great things that these omega-3s do. And again, on my blog, you'll find a page where you'll get a list, just 20 pages of sources of omega-3 oils. It's great for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, heart disease, let's see what else, diabetes. People with diabetes often have high triglyceride and low HDL levels. Omega-3 fatty acids from fish oil can help lower triglycerides and apolipoproteins, which is a marker of diabetes, and raise your healthy HDL, healthy cholesterol. Rheumatoid arthritis, it's great for rheumatoid arthritis. Most clinical studies examining omega-3 fatty acid supplements for arthritis have focused on RA, an autoimmune disease that causes inflammation. That's another thing. Omega-3s are a great brain food. It helps balance the brain chemistry, and your autoimmune diseases start in the brain. Fish oil does not appear to slow progression of RA, only to treat the symptoms. So joint damage still occurs, but that you can start with the diet earlier on in your life. Lupus, systemic lupus, osteoporosis, depression. Studies have found mixed results as to whether taking omega-3 fatty acids can help depression symptoms, but it does have it is showing promising signs of helping patients with depression, bipolar. Those who took fish oil in addition to standard prescription treatments for bipolar disorder for 4 months experienced fewer mood swings and relapsed than those who received placebo. Schizophrenia. These are all brain disorders. Attention deficit, hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. If you have children, you know, get them on some sort of a child portion or child-friendly fatty acid. Cognitive decline, skin disorders. The list goes on. And inflammatory bowel disease, asthma, macular degeneration, menstrual pain, breast cancer, prostate cancer. So there is a little bit of, there's a warning here that I'll get into, though. And I wanted to say, be sure to buy omega-3 fatty acid supplements made by established companies who certify that their products are free of heavy metals, such as mercury, lead, and cadmium, because a lot of these are going to come from cold water fish, like salmon, cod, halibut. And the only company that I know of for a fact that does test, and they're a Norwegian company. I stay away from salmon from the Pacific area just because of the Fukushima issue. But it's a Norwegian company called Carlson, Carlson, and you can get it at your health food store. They do test for heavy metals. And there's also on this page, on my blog, you'll see precautions and interactions because some people on pharmaceutical drugs need to read up on omegas before considering a change in their diet. That's pretty important. So once you're already on some of these drugs, check with your naturopathic doctor before you start beefing up in your omegas. Very, very important. There are some reactions there.
How many milligrams would you recommend people take off the top? Not you recommend, but what's recommended?
I did not find that on here. I didn't find any recommendations on here in terms of You can go to, there is Dr. McCullough, which I'm going to post. There's a site, or there's an article, and you may find it on the Dr. McCullough site, but you can pretty much find those on, you go into your health food store, you're going to find your average dose per day. So, good question, but I don't have that information. So, we'll have to cover that next time. But thank you. That's a great question. So, this kind of gives people a brief overview of how imbalanced we are on our omega-3s and our omega-6s. And like I said, the body does not produce this essential fatty acid. So we have to take it in. The reason why we have a culture who's so overweight, heart disease, people are dropping at 40 and 50 with heart attacks rather than, you know, when I was growing up, it was usually in the 70s and 80s. Everybody I know is on some sort of cholesterol medication. It's because of our diet, we're eating fried foods, fast foods, all the wrong kinds of oils. So, and like I said, the ratio of bad, or not bad, but omega-6s, 25 to 1 when it should be 1 to 1. So again, look at your diet, folks. Look at what you're putting in your machine. Omega-3 and omega-6 are two types of fats that are essential for human health. And the typical American consumes way too many omega-6 fats in their diet.
So what kind of foods do you find omega-6 in?
Omega-6, like I said, most of your frying oils, okay, your safflower oil, your sesame seed, or not sesame, your sunflower oil, just the Criscos, margarines, things like that. Those are the bad oils. The good oils,
so it's stuff
I would say,
that we
would
could,
be the sesame seed oil.
Yeah, Katie, it's stuff we can cut out really easily, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I cook with olive oil. I fry my eggs in either butter, organic butter, or I use coconut oil. I make, you know, if I'm making buckwheat pancakes, which are really alkalizing pancakes, I'll use coconut oil. And it doesn't, it has a wonderful flavor. It adds a wonderful flavor to my pancakes. I use olive oil for frying, if I'm frying my eggs or anything like that. So yeah, all you have to do is make some simple switchovers and stop eating fast food, fried foods, Criscos, things like that. So the Mediterranean diet is a great way to start. All you have to do is do a search on, is it Go Gopher, Dave?
Yeah, gogopher.com.
Gogopher.com. Type in Mediterranean diet and you'll find pages and pages of wonderful recipes and delicious foods on the Mediterranean diet. So that's what
I... Well, Katie, let's give out your contact information.
Okay, yes. And I had a great, great response last week for the essential oils kits. That's my specialty. I can't diagnose, but I can help you with essential oils. So call me with essential oil questions and we'll direct you. But you can reach me at, unfortunately, the FDA has finally caught up with me and my website, and I've been forced to strip all references to the healing properties of essential oils and all links to the company I represent. So you'll have to sign a contact form to get a hold of me or call me. 720-630-3111, 720-630-3111, or FamilyEssentialShop.com.
Okay, thanks a lot, Katie. We're going to step aside for a quick break here, and then we'll be joined by Paul Martin. This is one of these shows that just makes me want to hide under the bed. Well, I want to talk to you again about foodforliberty.com/Hodges. All the threats that are coming, martial law, currency collapse, if Planet X does come to fruition, there will be survivors. Will you have stored enough food to do you enough good to survive? Of course, there's going to be a lot of other elements at work, you know, in some of these disaster scenarios, but it all starts with food. And of course, it's security, but food. foodforliberty.com/Hodges. And I just want to remind everybody that beforeitsnews.com carries all my articles on their website morning and evening. They put me in their newsletter. Great guys. They have a terrific site that's citizen journalism. And they let everybody write an article as long as they don't cross certain lines, and they feature just a few people. And so they've good source of information, good citizen journalism, no censorship. Do you hear that, Google? No censorship. And again, goodgopher.com. Katie just brought that up. My friend Mike Adams started the search engine. Do not Google. You do not need to Google anything. Goodgopher.com. That's the place to go. Well, we have my friend from Northern Colorado, Paul Martin. His website is revolutionradio.org. And Paul, I got to tell you, you're on with a couple of people here, and Dave and Katie, who just kind of had their foundation rocked by Bob Fletcher. You know, I didn't take the Planet X thing very seriously, but Bob laid it out like the researcher he is. And I have to say, he got my attention. Now, getting my attention is not the same as I'm saying the sky is falling. But let's put it this way. Yours truly is going to be doing some research on this. But I asked Paul to come on, and let me just say this for the benefit of the listening audience. Because Paul and I talk every couple days. And we share who says what about what, and we compare notes and try to form reasonable conclusions. He told me something earlier in the week that he's not been able to put a cap on. But I thought this information was so stunning. And Paul thinks that this source that he got the information from is so credible that it's certainly worth mentioning. So, Paul, welcome to the show, and let's get down to it.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing tonight?
We're doing okay. Partly cloudy. I want to sleep under my bed. But anyway, let's talk about, let's just get right into it. Eastern Colorado, some bizarre stuff.
Yeah, this gentleman is the father of a longtime friend of my daughter. And the guy's amazing. The guy can do anything. He was over doing some air condition work for us. And so we were outside after he's finished talking about stuff. He said, I got something to tell you. And I go, what's that? He said, I've got a friend that inherited a massive amount of land out in eastern Colorado. He said, it's huge. He didn't know how many acres it was, but he said it was huge. And he hadn't really driven the property. You know, he's a busy guy, and he decided to, you know, go drive his property. Well, he got over to one side of the property, and there's a bluff there. And somebody had drilled a giant hole into the bluff, and there was two big giant black doors with brand new railroad tracks leading into this bored out bluff. And he was looking around. He was pretty amazed. And the door was cracked. And so he grabbed it and it's a big door, and he inched it back, and he looked inside, and he said it looked like an oven, a big giant oven. And about 15 seconds after he cracked that door, four black Suburbans piled on top of him. Now, this is flat. Eastern Colorado is flat. I mean, these cars came out of nowhere, which leads me to believe that they were underground. And so they all piled out of their Suburbans with fully automatic weapons and told him he had to leave. And he said, I don't have to leave anything. This is my land. And I said, no, sir, you're going to have to leave. This is government property. And he said, no, it's not government property. This is my land. And he's at his iPhone there, and he said, here's the GPS coordinates for all four corners of my property, and you're on it. And he said, well, sir, you're absolutely going to have to leave. And he said, I'm not going anywhere. This is my property. And one of the big Husky guys dropped the hammer, let that bolt fly on that M16, and he left. Well, after that, he had contacted five different attorneys that he knew, and nobody would take this case. So this is huge, Dave. What we're going to have to do, I think it's probably too dangerous to go on the property, but I think we can fly over it. But we've definitely, and he said these railroad tracks were brand new, and he didn't know how far they went, and I don't know what direction they went. But we need to get a bird in the air, and we need to film this because we need to get this out. This is, why would the government bore a giant hole into a bluff out in the middle of nowhere, eastern Colorado, like brand new railroad tracks, and the gentleman that looked in it, it looked to him like a big giant oven. So this is a huge story, and we're going to have to ask the audience to help us, because we definitely, I know I had a young man that used to work for me that has a small movie company. We need to get a really good camera in the air, and we need to film this and see how, fly as low as we can and get some good shots of the railway and the big giant doors in the side of the bluff. But this sounds very ominous to me, Dave.
Well, it does to me, too. Vic, what you're going to need to do is trace the origin of the tracks. Where do they start? Now,
exactly.
I suspect they're offshoots of other tracks. And
absolutely.
I will tell you this. Go ahead, Paul. Go ahead.
No, absolutely. Yeah, this is a rail line that shoots off a main track somewhere.
Well, it's never boring talking to you. But this might be the most intriguing thing you've told me among all the interesting things that we've talked about. But a couple of things come to mind. One, when I hear the subject of railroad tracks, I think of FEMA camps. When I hear the subject of ovens, well, that kind of goes without saying. But this is so remote. And as far as I know, nothing in the area in terms of a FEMA camp. Nothing that could be converted into a FEMA camp.
No,
however,
it's just wide open, flat prairie.
Exactly. So that leads you to a second possibility, and it's what Bob Fletcher talked about in the first 2 hours plus of this show. And Bob talked about the fact that the underground structures created, and they have unusual entry points. And these entry points are what the elite will try to get to. And this will be their refuge during the Planet X fiasco. So it's one of two things. It's a disposition center resulting from mass extermination. It certainly fits the Nazi profile, except the demographics are all wrong. And then we've got the possibility it's a haven for the elite. And I got to tell you, Paul, when I put my finger up in the air, See which way the wind is blowing here? I'd vote for the second one, just based on the available evidence at the moment. That could change, of course. Is there a third possibility that comes to your mind about what this could be?
No, there's nothing. And the fact that these blacked-out Suburbans just appeared out of nowhere tells me that you could be right. I mean, this could be an underground facility. But there was nowhere for those vehicles to be within 15 seconds of him cracking that door. So they definitely, I can't think of any other reason other than they came out from an underground area.
Yeah, that would be my guess, too. And about how far would you estimate this would be from DIA, Denver International Airport?
Ooh, as the crow flies. 65, 70 miles.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. This could be the find of the year, but we're going to have to, like I said, we're going to have to get a bird in the air. And once we get in the air, we can trace, we can follow the tracks and find out where they hook up.
Well, I'm going to share with you a story. And I don't think I've told this on the air. And my good friend, who used to be my neighbor, he was involved with me in fighting against McCain's attempt to take over without compensation of our homes out in our area. But his brother did contract work for a lot of the alphabet soup agencies, construction work. And one of the things he worked on a lot, and this is what my friend shared with me, was they sealed up caves into mountains and the sides of hills on forest land. And the one thing that got his brother's attention, the person who was doing the work, was the fact that if they ventured very far in, they saw evidence of railroad tracks and truck traffic. And he said that their job was to seal up. So was this an ancillary entrance to where they would bring in supplies? Well, that's what my friend said. He said, that's what I think is going on. Now, obviously, this was a highly secured operation. He was under a security clearance. And I'm not at liberty to say a whole lot more than what I've already said. I really don't know a whole lot more than what I already said, except I have the identity of both people. But this that story there reminds me of the story you're telling us tonight. And this is why I go back to what Bob Fletcher was saying about these underground structures. They have unusual entry points. This one was extremely well guarded. No question whatsoever. Very well guarded. Now, the question I have, too, and something we need to look into, is the attorneys that this man approached who would not touch this case with a 10-foot pole, why wouldn't they take the case? It's a clear case of trespassing.
Well, absolutely. I think they may have been given a message. I mean, attorneys talk to other attorneys, you know, like PhDs talk to other PhDs. So these guys knew something that they were so spooked that they wouldn't even get near. I mean, they wouldn't even talk to him about the case. Nope, we're not taking it. Thank you. Bye. Click. And so, yeah, there's something huge out there, and I've just got to get out there. It would be nice to be able to get on the ground, but with those vehicles there in 15 seconds, they just may start shooting. But hopefully we can get some good video from the air. So we're going to need. I'll put up on my website and your audience, if anybody wants to help us do this. This will probably be. I don't know. I skydive for 17 years. I don't know what pilots are flying for per hour now. But we need to. This will probably be, you know, at least half a day operation. So anybody that would like to contribute and help us get this information out, it would be great.
Well, let's just start with an all call here for anyone who's listening who has their own plane that's pilot that lives in the region. You can certainly contact me, and I'll put you in contact with Paul. Paul, you don't mind giving out your email address either, do you?
No, not at all. It's radio, R-A-D-I-O, dude, D-U-D-E, 419. At hotmail.com. That's radio, R-A-D-I-O, dude, D-U-D-E, 419, at hotmail.com.
Yeah, you need to do a GoFundMe. And when you do, I'll run that, because this is something we have a right to know. I mean, this is clearly money that Bob talked about, money being siphoned off to create these facilities. This is wrong. This is our money. Our money at work. It's this rancher's land who's basically been stolen from him. We need to stand up to this. I mean, I think we need to face this en masse, but you know that's not going to be the way it works. What movie was it, Bob, where an asteroid is coming? Morgan Freeman played the president.
Yeah,
they did
exactly.
A lottery of a million people. Do you remember that? And they got to go to the underground.
Yeah, I've seen it three or four times. Yeah.
Yeah. What was the name? Was that Asteroid, or what was the name of that?
Impact or something.
Impact.
I can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember. It's funny how things get telegraphed, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. They tell you what they're going to do to you. I mean, and they do it in various ways.
What's interesting to me is Bob Fletcher brought up the fact, and this sent chills up and down my spine. He talked about Jade Helm was a means to invoke martial law so the rich could make their getaway. And let me tell you, Paul, and I'm sure you remember this article, but back, I think it was the first week in May, I wrote an article where I talked about I had an insider source who cut his teeth on special operations forces, and at that time he was in contact with some people who were very high up in the Jade Helm operation. And the thing that most disturbed my contact was the fact that the Jade Helm people were telling him, we have no idea what it is we're doing long term. Everything is so compartmentalized that even the guys running the Jade Helm operation don't know what it's about. And boy, if you're looking at connecting it to something like Planet X, I can see why they would do that. What troops would stay on the job if they knew what was coming?
They wouldn't.
Exactly. And
you know, over the last 4 or 5 years with my sources, I mean, they are planning for something monumental, massive, huge, whatever word you want to put on it. But my FEMA source in the health end of FEMA, it was a year and a half ago, he said, you guys are on your own. He said, we're not preparing to help with the American people. We're simply here for continuity of government. And he did know for a fact that at that time they were piling massive amounts of food underground in Nebraska, Wyoming, and in Colorado. He knew where the underground facilities were, but he hadn't been to them, but he did know where they were. So, I mean, this is truly a military operation. I mean, it's just like, you know, stuff I did when I was in the Marine Corps. You know, you prepare, you pre-position, and then you launch. And that's exactly what they're doing. And, but, you know, it was 2 years ago, my East Coast source said, when this shoe drops, wherever you are is where you're going to stay. And so they're preparing to shut everything down, and, you know, that's transportation. Heck, Dave, all we have to do is have the credit marks break, and transportation comes to a screeching halt.
Yeah, and then getting food will be problematic at the end of the second day.
Yeah, if you don't have 2 or 3 years' worth of food, you are out of your gourd.
Foodforliberty.com/Hodges. And no, I'm not making a cheap commercial. I'm telling you that I will advertise products on this show only because of their utility for the situations that could be coming. It's time for me to tell this story again. I've told it before briefly, but I used to have a basketball player played for me several years ago, over a decade ago. Large man, 6'7", 250, lived in the Nashville area, and he knew I had a radio show, but he didn't really follow this stuff. But one day I get a phone call from him, and he says, Coach, what's FEMA? I said, what do you mean, what's FEMA? He said, FEMA was just in my house. And I said, well, that's interesting. Tell me about that. And he said that these guys pulled up in a black Suburban with tinted windows, you know, your typical FEMA horror story, and they jumped out, and he yells out the door and through the screen door. He says, that's far enough. That's far enough. You don't go any further. And remember, this is a large man. And they came up and they go, well, we need to gain entry to your home. He goes, do you have a warrant? He goes, no. They said, like hell you're getting in here. And the one guy pulled back his coat to expose his gun. And eventually, because, you know, Will, shouldn't have said his first name, but he was watching his baby. His wife was at work. And so he was fearful of what could come. So he let him in. And they didn't go to the kitchen, they went to the pantry, and they told him, well, we want to know, you know, how much food you have in storage. He goes, that's why we're here. And what's interesting about that, Paul, is after I told this story, when it occurred, I told it the very next Sunday, and he declined to come on, but I had a lady call me from Atlanta, and the same thing happened to her. And so they've been doing these spot checks with food, and it almost seems like they don't want us to be prepared for what's coming. In fact, they're talking in FEMA and DHS now that if you have over 3 days of food, they're going to consider that to be a terrorist act?
Yep. Well, yeah. Food is your life. Water is your life. Medicine is your life. This is your stuff. you're just going to have to stand up, take care of business. And I talked to you off air. We've got a new friend, Dave. And let me see how I put this. From the East Coast, lives in very, very, very rural Colorado somewhere. And he's recently retired from the Central Intelligence Agency. He was talking to a friend of mine. And
our mutual friend. I know who you're talking about now.
Yeah, our mutual friend.
Yes.
And it was talking about politics. Well, what do you think about the, you know, the presidential race and Donald Trump and all that? And he just kind of grinned. He said, you don't have to worry about politics. He said, martial law will be launched way before the election. So that just reconfirms other things that we know from other sources that we have.
Well, I have another source that's come out, too, and maybe this is a good time to unveil it. We certainly don't have the time to fully develop it. But I was given a working paper, or I should say was able to look at it for a while, and I was able to take notes on it, although I was not allowed to keep it. And this working paper was about elements of martial law that would go into effect under Jade Helm, quote, unquote, occupation. And they used that word. It jumped right off the page at me. So I took notes. Now, I had written an article back on May 3rd of this year in which I talked about the fact that there would probably be 17 elements of martial law if Jade Helm were to go live. And what did I base the information on? At that time, I didn't have any inside information about Jade Helm with regard to martial law provisions, but I went based on what I knew about history, you know, and what typically happens during martial law. And so, you know, I published these 17 items, and I said, these are 17 things you want to look for. And this article got widely distributed, you know, dusk to dawn curfews, rationing of essential resources, that'd be Executive Order 13603, the seizing of personal assets such as food and water, arrests without due process, outlawing of free speech, control of the media, executions without due process of law. Boy, is there a train going by there?
No, it's a Dodge diesel pulling up the driveway.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to say it's either that or a tank. Okay. So anyways, I'm going through some of these things. You know, the massive papers, please, checkpoints. What I found interesting is people keep writing to me, and I want all of you who believe this to listen. Mullen Levy, they can't take us over. They can't do anything to us because we have 300 million handguns. Really? Well, under martial law, what I have in this document, and I'm going to publish it tomorrow morning on the website, they've talked about gun confiscation. And what they're going to do in martial law is they're going to go to the homes of gun owners. Yes, when you bought your gun, good chance that you were registered. And they're going to go in there and they're going to inspect your home. One, they're going to do energy audits. You heard me correctly. Energy audits. I kid you not. They're still thinking Agenda 21, even in a crisis. They're going to do gun confiscation. And if you've got food over what they call the prescribed amount, and I don't know what the prescribed amount is. It just said, when I read it, it said the prescribed amount, they're going to seize that food. And they do not need a warrant to enter your home. And all they need is to be sanctioned by local law enforcement. So they could be Russians, Chinese, from Denmark. They could be from the YMCA. But if they're given this authority, they have the statutory authority, according to their own rules, to enter your home and enact these aspects of martial law. And it's pretty telling because they're also going to seize things like fertilizer. Fertilizer. Can you, Paul, you know why they're going to do the fertilizer, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, they don't want us making bombs.
Nope.
They expect a pushback. And they expect that there's going to be some kind of pushback, civil unrest, and possibly even civil war. But what's interesting in all of these things that that they mentioned here, they did, in fact, let me go down, and here's what I said in May of this year. Executions without due process of law. They didn't say it that bluntly, but effectively they said it. They used terms like final disposition. And one of the things, Paul, and you've seen this on my website in the articles, there is a disproportionate amount of medical trucks that are being shipped around the country. Have you noticed that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of the photos that people send me of these military convoy trains or these military convoys on highways. There is almost always military medical trucks for mass casualties. In fact, what the DHS mass casualty bus, I've gotten this sent to me about 10 times today, was spotted in Texas. So clearly they're planning for mass casualties. And I don't think it's mass casualties as a result of Planet X, because when that happens, it's every man and woman for themselves. I think it's going to be the pushback civil war that's going to be the reaction to the implementation of martial law.
I've got an old-timer. He's probably late 70s, early 80s, and it was a couple months ago. He was up at the big truck stop up in Cheyenne, and he stopped by and told me, he doesn't carry a cell phone or that stuff. He says, what's going on? I said, why do you ask? He says, that whole truck stop was full of emergency military ambulances and stuff. And I said, well, I said, there's some stuff going on. I'll tell you about it later. I don't want to scare him. But, yeah, we've seen a massive, massive amount. It was last year that there were three very European. I saw them. I was going northbound to Cheyenne, and they were going southbound towards Denver. And they had bubbles and antennas, and it was a weird camo design. And so I called my late friend Mike McNulty. He's kind of a bug on military, worldwide military equipment. And I told him what I saw, and he said, well, you know what those are, don't you? I said, no, Mike, that's why I'm calling you. And he said, those are biological nuclear sniffers. They're made in West Germany. West Germany is the only people in the world that makes them. So there was three of those heading down to Cheyenne, or heading south towards Denver, you know, a couple of years ago. So, yeah, I mean, we're ground central for this. We're ground central for Russian troops, Mongolians. We've got the Turkish, former Turkish prisoners with barcodes on the left side of their necks. Yeah, it's nuts out here, Dave.
Yeah, part of me feels like I made a good decision in leaving Colorado. I mean, I don't even recognize. I come back, you know, and visit family, and I'll watch newscasts. I'll talk to people, and I just see how things are being run in Denver, where I grew up. I don't even recognize the city. It's almost like it's so totalitarian. I'll give you an example. It's a cosmopolitan city. It's a very advanced city, very refined in the arts and so forth, well-educated population in Denver. But it's almost like it reminds me of Capital City in the Hunger Games movie.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, my daughter goes to college down there. She last year of college soccer, and, yeah, I go down there quite a bit. And it's, you would not believe the Agenda 21 housing that they're building. It's,
oh, yeah, oh,
like,
I know.
Lakewood looked like a foreign country. I mean, they're built. It's unbelievable. I had a friend help move his daughter from Grand Junction, and they're living in one of those human boxes. And I mean, it's just as far. And Fort Collins is building like crazy buildings.
Yeah, you got them too. Paul, we're just about out of time, and I wanted to give you an opportunity here to give out your website address, as well as your contact information again, in case anyone can help you facilitate this flyover.
My email is radiodude, RADIODUDE, 419er, at hotmail.com. My website's revolutionradio.org.
Revolutionradio.org. And a great site. You got a lot of good articles up there. Post them every day. Well, next week, talk about what's coming. We've got Rob Griswold on from Ready Made Resources, one of our sponsors, and he's going to be talking about preparation, and we're working on getting Pat Wood, and we have a surprise guest in the last half hour. Paul, my friend, thank you very much for joining us. Interesting information, going to be a story that we have to follow. And to everybody else, thanks for listening tonight. I'm going to go hide under the bed for a while. Go out and have a great week. God bless.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.